Good morning. We're at that portion of our meeting this morning, which is public comment. And as I call on you, if you will come to the microphone at the speaker and give your name, that will be for our record. We're broadcasting as well as recording. Melissa, would you like to start?
Melissa Duckworth from Emergency Management. I have a few things, just more FYI for you gentlemen this morning. As you know, there's amateur radio. Emergency services are very active in Taney County, and we wouldn't be able to do a lot of things we do in the emergency management office without them. They're having a radio field day this weekend at Shadow Rock Park. It's both Saturday and Sunday, starting at 10 o'clock in the morning. I believe Saturday after lunch will be the best time for a lot of the activity. And it's from my understanding they might get a little extra credit if a commissioner shows up. So if any of you want to stop by, they will be out there Saturday and Sunday at Shadow Rock Park. I'm going to try and be out there Saturday at some time after lunch just to kind of see what's going on. Along with that, amateur radio and emergency management are participating this Wednesday on the 20th. In an exercise. It's a regional exercise. It's part of the state component. They are recreating some of the communications issues from Joplin as a tornado in the Springfield area. And we will be in our office on June 20th. We're going to play from 8 to noon with the web-based, it's called WebEOC. It's a web-based component where, as a region, all of emergency management, health department, fire, everybody's together on one page. We can do updates. We can see what's going on. Amateur radio is also putting a operator at Skaggs Hospital and the health department, as well as in our office. And they're going to do kind of a can you hear me now type test. It'll be from 8:30 till 10 is when amateur radio is going to play for that. We also have representatives from Taney County from various fire departments and equipment that's going to Springfield. The state part of this is checking in responders. And they will be going up to Springfield to participate in that aspect as well. And the last thing that I have, we have gone through our final meeting for the hazard mitigation plan update. And it is all in Southwest Missouri Council of Governments, their hands. They're finalizing it. We have access. We're looking at what they've got, make sure it's all correct, make sure we agreed on all of that. It will be sent up to the state. And when the state approves it, it will be then sent to FEMA, and when FEMA approves it, it will come back down, and they will go before here in a commission meeting to be adopted, and then go to all of the entities, the jurisdictions that have an interest to adopt the plan as well.
Can you make sure I'm recapping this properly? Okay. On Wednesday is the tornado replay scenario, correct?
Communications.
Right, from 8:30 to 10 o'clock in the morning.
8:30 to 10 is amateur radio, and our office, we're going to play from 8 to noon.
8 to noon, okay. On Saturday, Sunday is the Shadow Rock event. Is there a good time on Saturday? You said
sometime after lunch. They're going to set up Saturday morning.
Okay.
And once they get everything set up, then...
So like 1 o'clock, anytime after 1 would be fine?
Anytime after lunch.
Okay. All right. Who's heading that up? Do you know?
My contact is Don Burke. He works. He's our liaison with our office when we need emergency management. We need amateur radio to come in and help us out.
Is he with Central Taney County?
He's not. He's just amateur radio.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Melissa. Next we have, is it Seeker or Seeker?
Seeker.
Seeker. Let me try the other one. Roger. Do you pronounce it Dvorak?
Dvorak.
Okay. You gentlemen can either speak together or individually, however you prefer.
Good morning. My name is A.J. Seeker. I live out on E-76 in the Country Club Heights Edition. We both came up here this morning. We've got a problem out in our area with a couple houses. He lives in front of them. I live in back of them. They're not abandoned. I guess you could say they're abandoned in one way. People were living there about 6 months ago, have moved out. We've had no neat weed control, no mowing. I have pictures to show you here of one house. that probably they moved out in February, and that was the last time anybody has been in the house. Weeds are growing 5 to 6 foot tall. It's getting to be a health issue. Number of kids in the area that have moved in, running through. I'm sure we're going to be looking at varmints, skunks, snakes, if not already. The house next to it, understand the gentleman lives in or around St. Louis area. He comes back every couple months. I have pictures of his. Somebody mowed his front yard before I was able to take the pictures, but we have junk vehicles laying all around his house, piled up at the side, which is another health issue for varmints coming in and out of there at all the time. We just came to approach the commission to see what you could do, what we needed to do, give us some guidance on it.
Hi, I'm Roger Dvorak, and I live out in the same area that AJ does. And I can recall when someone did live at the house that's got the thistles, that they did have some snake problems over there at that time, and I have had a skunk at my house in recent times. And these thistles are coming to blossom now. They're getting the purple flowers on top, so they'll be scattering through the whole area. And we've had some trouble families live in that area, and they've since gone, and we're trying to get some new people in there, and we have got some new people in there that's got some kids and some nice folks, and the area just looks terrible. And the fellow with the junk cars, a lot of times he'll come down with a trailer, and he'll bring another vehicle there, and he parks them there, and he works on them occasionally, and he has someone come take parts off of them, so it looks like he's kind of running a junkyard scenario there. And he'll bring a trailer and he'll park it on the no parking side of the street and leave it there for a long period. And the sheriff has come out and tagged that vehicle several times because people parking on the right side of the street that you're supposed to park on, you can't get a fire truck down through there. And I was talking to the sheriff about it. And there's been some kids trying to get into these homes too. To, you know, they'll look in the windows and try to get in the garage, and I've called the sheriff on that. So it's becoming a problem, and we were just concerned on what our next step was, and we got that information from you folks today, so we'll be pursuing that. But we're just glad that, you know, that you came and talked to us a little bit.
Can you all leave us phone numbers for contact?
Don't say it. You come up here and just write it in if you don't mind.
Cover your mic.
Yeah.
I thought you would tell me I pronounced Roger right.
Yeah, you did that also.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, guys, we'll stay in touch. It was a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
See you later.
Thank you. Guys, we have just a couple of minutes before we go into formal session. I see that we got Mr. Ashley's going to meet with us today on proposed subdivision regulations. So he's going to go through that. T Highway again, substance abuse policy.
Do you have a printed out copy of that policy? Because I didn't print my copy of it yet. It's probably in that pile.
There's nothing attached to it.
Nothing attached.
And I may have printed it out this morning prior to coming down, but I don't think so. I think the change that she was going to make was adding alcohol abuse to
mm-hmm. it. It should have been minor change, and I've seen it. I just don't have a printout copy. The lungs will be reviewed it, will we find?
I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission Monday, June 18, 2012, to order and call upon Commissioner Straffes to offer the opening prayer.
Please stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we just ask you to be with each elected official, both at the city, the county, the state, and the federal level, Father, as you guide them and direct them in how they should conduct themselves and conduct business for their respective constituents. And Father, we just ask you to be with the military as they go out and protect our borders and protect our interests throughout the world. Father, be also with their families as they are separated at this time. And Father, we just thank you for this great country we live in, and we ask you all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Commissioner Strahan, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
What great American was born 46 years ago?
That would be Jim Strong.
Happy birthday.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
I have it electronically. I know we want to see it.
Okay. Thank you. Linda, before your session today on salaries, will you be bringing a copy of that printout that you sent us? I have one, but I know that...
I have one.
Okay.
I
have. Thank you.
Did you get with these minutes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Previous meeting minutes.
Motion to approve with corrections and changes minutes dated June 5th, June 11th, June 14th.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve the previous county commission minutes dated June 5th, 11th, and 14th with changes. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed say nay. Motion carries. Accounts payable, journal entries, and transfers?
Motion to approve accounts payable checks number 329392 through 329442. Warrants 5637 through 5640, and one transfer from the transfer station to Road and Bridge.
I'll second that motion. I didn't see the transfer.
It's just hours running the scale house.
Okay. That's all right then.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve checks numbered 329392 through 329442. Warrants number 5637, 38, 39, and 40, and a transfer from the transfer station to R&B as presented. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Do we have one? As you guys are looking, I'm looking at this one transfer here. I saw these. We have repairs for buildings and grounds that was not in there. I'm wondering if we missed a transfer.
Well, we only have one listed, but I thought that there were three actually on the front.
Well, it was Road and Bridge transfer station salary, so that offsets them.
Okay.
But this is from Road and Bridge. Let me just look real nice. No, we're just going to do that one because that's how it's laying out. If they want to build it. On this, it says building and grounds, but I don't see the documentation.
Don or Joanne, if either of you are listening, would one of you come in and help us with the transfers?
That'd be great if you could, Nikki.
Thank you.
Who?
Joanne, a quick question about transfers.
It says building to the grounds here. It doesn't have anything listed here.
Didn't plus I think it was to or from, so we go after.
Well, we didn't vote on that, so you just want to wait till next week with that?
Well, we can make a second motion if it's...
It's a debit.
So it's just a notice to us?
It's a debit from transfer and from transfer station and debit from grounds to road and bridge, so this is a debit too.
Right, so
let's do an additional motion and then let's add that to this, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did it all as one transfer from not on one order.
So it's going from buildings to ground to road and bridge for salaries.
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna move that we complete the transfer from buildings and grounds to road and bridge for salaries.
I'll second that.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve the transfer from building grounds to road and bridge for salaries. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries. You can make that change on there as well. Agenda request review. Nikki?
We don't have very many items on here. You'll notice the first one, it's taking a little bit of time to schedule those three departments.
Mm-hmm.
What works for two doesn't work for the other one, vice versa. So we're having to, you know, maybe go out a couple of weeks, just so you know.
Understood.
Okay. And Ron, I did get your email, and I'm working on that this morning on number two.
On the second one, which was
that's your baby.
Let's take Jim's requested. That's right. Over to the right where it said needs more details, that's really me, RS, or RH. Let's have, Vicki is scheduling an appointment as we speak.
How are
between,
you?
Yes.
I'm working on that this morning.
We move right after that. Okay. I'm curious where we're at on DOE appointments. Lynn, do you have any?
She won't know. Christy does all those.
Do you have any inkling, James? No. The reason I'm asking is because originally we'd scheduled the possibility of starting June 25th in the afternoon.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because the books aren't turned over till the 3rd?
No, the books are going
to
be...
They have to be turned over till the 1st. And if we're looking at Thursday today to look at some final numbers, we're looking at Thursday. With the IT department.
Well, we had a discussion originally, and we put it down tentatively, not locked in, for her to come back to. And I was just wondering if that was going to be reality, because obviously we need to know for scheduling for regular commission on 25th. And then I'm doing the interviews for the exec director on the 26th, 27th. If you'll find that out, at least, not this second, but where we're at on that.
Yeah, I mean, Nikki, you'll need to know. So.
Yeah.
I had also had a request, Nikki, from an individual with MoDOT that wanted to have monthly meetings and updates with us.
Yes.
Were we able to contact that individual?
I left her a message late last week.
So we haven't heard back?
Mm-mm. No.
Danny, Jim, any other?
We were trying to schedule that with our transportation board.
Right, we were trying to get it on
Monday. We were going to meet first with us and then,
right.
And then move into perhaps regular meetings with transportation board.
Yes.
Hi, young lady. Could you tell us what we're looking at for BOE so that it could help us with other scheduling for our agendas? Are we looking at scheduling BOE right now in the last few days of June?
Yeah.
Or are we waiting until?
No, the first day we started scheduling is the 2nd of July.
Okay.
We extended the deadline to July 1st for applications.
Okay. The on the 2nd, are we doing the commission first half a day and then we move into BOE? Is
yes.
that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
So commission till noon. Then BOE. And how are we doing as far as appointments? Is it heavy? Is it light?
It's light.
It's light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd say we have about half full for the first week. So.
Great.
Yeah.
Could you tell them the deadline for filing that? So
July 1st.
No, for filing with the clerk's office to get into BOE.
July 1st.
Okay.
It was extended to July 1st.
And July 1st is a
Sunday.
Sunday. As so long as it's postmarked by that day.
So as long as individuals that are sending it in by mail have it postmarked no later than Sunday the 1st, so really it's going to be Saturday or Friday,
right.
They will be allowed to meet with BOE beginning
July 2nd.
July 2nd.
Correct.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you. Guys, anything else, again, on agenda that we wish to...
I was looking through email just now, and I don't see anything.
Both attorneys will be here next Monday.
Pardon?
Next Monday they'll be here?
Both attorneys will be here next Monday.
That's the 25th.
I know there was a couple of items you wanted to
Frank,
discuss.
Is Frank coming down today?
No. If you need him, I can get him on the phone.
Okay.
We do have a. We will have a schedule change on the regular park board meeting. They have a schedule for a candidate forum. And there will be a moving of the date because we're going to have the opening of the KDOT Park facility with a the regular ribbon cutting type situation that we always have on the parks. I have no dates from the park board yet, but I just wanted to bring that as a reminder. It will not run on the regular date of the fourth Thursday. Try to get it moved this week sometime. Now I'll let the news media know.
Let's move to the next order of business, which is signage regarding veterans billboard. Nikki, before you leave. What I have in front of me says we're waiting to hear. I thought that we did hear back from MoDOT. Am I reading that wrong? There we go. Just as a way of formal notice to us as the commission, Michael Bach, Senior Traffic Studies Specialist with MoDOT for the Southwest District, sent this email. Sorry it took so long for me to get the information that I got from Jefferson City. Looks like the best option is through an agreement such as a TR-15 that the county would pay for and MoDOT would maintain. One price would go into the existing Taney County signs, and the larger cost would go for custom signs that would display a logo for Taney County on them. Let me know if you have any questions. They have sent copies of what those signs possibly would look like.
Why don't you post that for a vote for, is it Thursday or when do we have that, Ron, or next Monday?
It's scheduled right now. It's on the agenda right now.
It's on the agenda for today?
Yes.
kept looking down at the other highway project that was on the list.
Have you looked at what this is?
The price-wise?
Oh, goodness. Picture. The options that they sent. I think we need to continue this to have a discussion with them.
There's no doubt.
But since we're trying to schedule a meeting anyway with the MODOC people, that'd be a good topic for us to bring up in that meeting too.
Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'm glad we got that.
We'll continue this. Would you do me a favor and make a copy of just that for each of us?
You just forwarded the email. You did. Yeah, so I already have that. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, I'll go back and look. I don't know that.
If you need to send it again.
I'll send it again to me if you want. Substance abuse policy. Ladies, would you join us? Thank you, Nikki. And we have a copy of this, right? This is... So, since your birthday was on Thursday and his is today, are you 5 days older than him?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Look
at
these. Just 5 is 5.
Linda, go ahead. What have we in front of us?
We have the newly revised substance abuse policy that we were requested to do by employee screening and considering all the things that should have been in it that were not, like 10-panel drug lab testing and the alcohol testing.
Those are the two main changes that
yes.
I reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for a motion of approval if you gentlemen have reviewed it.
I'm good with it. You want to make the motion?
Yeah, motion for approval of the revised drug testing.
Substance abuse policy.
Yep.
I'll second the motion.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve the revised substance abuse policy as presented. Discussion. I have a question of it.
Mm-hmm.
Are there exceptions? There wouldn't be any exceptions to what we have in front of us and what we sign off on, correct? Okay. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries. Thank you for your work on this.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. You want me to wait on that?
Well, yeah. I think you'll have to.
The county clerk will have to have an attestation.
Okay.
How many copies do we need? Do we need 2 copies, probably? This is asking copies.
They'll probably redo it anyway.
They'll probably.
Sign this, Daniel, if you will.
Did you just have 1 copy on it or 2 here?
I did 2. But I did maybe different, and let me retype it. I'll give that to Nikki.
Okay.
Thank you, ladies.
All right. Thank you.
Approval of payroll, gentlemen.
Motion to approve payroll.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve payroll. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed nay. Motion carries. Proposed subdivision regulations. This is a work session that we've scheduled with Mr. Ashley. Bob, if you could join us. We'd love to hear about what you have proposed.
Going to make sure, does everyone still have their copies with them? Okay.
I have my homework.
Okay. I know there's quite a bit there.
There is.
Basically...
Do you have another copy there, Bob?
Oh, yes.
Let me have that right here.
Oh, I think I've seen an email or two about that. You did that on purpose, didn't you?
I think we're addressing that overall on Thursday, Bob.
I think we are addressing it overall.
Exactly. but basically, the Planning Commission, by unanimous vote at their last meeting on June 11th, they did vote to recommend adoption to the county commission of the proposed subdivision regulations. Essentially, what prompted this was during our code amendment hearings this last February, Commissioner Strahan had brought a number of concerns to the Planning Commission's attention and to the planning staff's attention regarding the existing subdivision mm-hmm. regulations in the Development Guidance Code, and this is an attempt to try to first off we've tried to address a number of those concerns, and the other thing that's being proposed is we're basically proposing to remove the subdivision regulations from the existing code book. There's a couple of different reasons for that. One of the reasons is it just gives us the ability, if we have someone that's just interested strictly in subdivision of land, we can just hand them the one book. And
right.
instead of having to, right now, subdivision of land is found in various parts of this book. And so, literally, you might have to thumb from the body to an appendix, back to the body. And one of the thoughts was this way we can give them one book that deals, you know, exclusively with subdivision of land. The other thought is statutorily we're really supposed to handle subdivision of land differently than land use approval or zoning approval. And it was felt if we kept this as a separate book, a separate document, we could have one process for subdivision of land and one process for land use approval or zoning approval. Right now, the code book looks upon a major subdivision, for example, as a Division 3 permit. In my mind, this would actually simplify it somewhat. Basically, we would look upon a major subdivision as a major subdivision. It would no longer have a designation as a Division 3 permit. I didn't know how we wanted to start this, but I was going to kind of talk, if it was all right, just in general terms about some of the differences, mm-hmm. and then we can start getting more specific if the commission wishes to.
That'd be fine.
I think it's good for us to use this as a work session to go through it.
Okay.
I know that we're required, after planning and zoning has already approved this, to establish a public hearing, correct?
Yes, yes.
And then ask for comments from the public, but... Prior to that, I welcome the opportunity to chat with you about it. So let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're here today.
And basically, and let me, I'll just give you, I should have made a copy, but here's that copy. But basically, some of the key differences is currently under the current set of regulations, it's requiring the approval of a subdivision, of a named subdivision, every time we have a the creation of a tract that's 40 acres or less. So using an example, if we had an individual that had 50 acres and that individual wished to give their child 10 acres, under the current provisions, they would be required to create a named subdivision where they would have lot 1 that was 10 acres and lot 2 that was 40 acres. Under the proposed subdivision regulations, what we found when we researched other counties throughout the state of Missouri that have planning and zoning, the majority utilize either 10 or 20 acres as their cutoff for subdivisions. And so what we would actually have, what's been proposed there, basically what's been proposed is the only time that a subdivision would fall under the Planning and Zoning Department's jurisdiction is if it's a subdivision that creates tracts less than 10 acres in size. And so if you had a situation, for example, if somebody wanted to create 20-acre tracts, by state law, they would still have to have it. Well, and let me explain that a little bit more, too. but essentially, we wouldn't have a subdivision that would fall under planning and zoning jurisdiction per this proposal until the tracts were less than 10 acres in size. And so, and part of this, what was originally quoted, or what's what currently falls in the code book, is the code book is referencing a state statute, 137.185, and it refers to basically that if a property owner wants to create a parcel or tract less than a 16th of a section, or 40 acres, that a survey must be completed and recorded. But here's the important part of this. If the land in question cannot be described in aliquot parts of the U.S. public land survey system. So basically, it's requiring a survey if they can't describe, for example, something as the quarter-quarter section, township range. If they can't describe it that way.
That's our existing policy.
Yes, yes. Okay. And basically, per the new regulations, we're still pointing out the state law. We're still saying, well, per state law, if it's 40 acres or less, if you can't describe it, you know, as a quarter-quarter section, township range, then you still have to have it surveyed. But it doesn't. We're proposing for it not to fall under planning and zoning's jurisdiction or require an actual plat, basically a survey plat, until it's creating tracts less than 10 acres in size. And that's
this. So does that mean that what we have done is taken away some of the regulation that we had in place?
Exactly.
Minimize what?
Exactly. Okay. We've actually, and this would put us more in line, honestly, with the other counties throughout the state of Missouri that have planning and zoning.
So we're not being more restrictive, we're being less restrictive.
We actually are. We actually are being. In that particular aspect, and a lot of it is, being really frank with you, there's not a whole lot for us to look at. For example, if somebody has an 80-acre parcel of land, there's not a great deal for us to look at if they're wanting to create 240s. And in fact, in my mind, it actually creates some other issues. Just to bring this up kind of in general terms, and sometimes I do the best with examples on this, but literally right now, if we had an individual that had 80 acres of land, and this is per the existing regulations, and they wished to subdivide that 80-acre parcel of land into two tracts, into two 40-acre tracts of land, they would be required to name that as a named subdivision, come through the plat approval process, and then that would have to have, you know, it would basically be labeled Lot 1 and Lot 2 of whatever the named subdivision. The problems we get into with that, just as an example, the way the regulations are currently written, if a person was going to increase the density of a named subdivision, which that would be looked upon as a named subdivision, it requires the approval of a Division 3 permit. And so it becomes, in my mind, kind of arduous for a person just to split 40 acres, for example, just because we've called it a named survey or named plat. Under the proposed regulations, again, the only time that we would require an actual plat or a named survey would be when tracts of land were less than 10 acres in size. And really, this is more in line with some of our neighboring counties, with Greene County, Christianstown. And kind of what I've found is throughout the state of Missouri, most other counties seem to utilize either 10 or 20 acres as their cutoff. In fact, Taney County was the only county that I found that actually utilizes the 40 acres as our cutoff. And I think the reasoning was originally because of the statute. I think they said, well, the statute is requiring a survey if it's going to create a tract that's 40 acres or less. But in reality, it's only requiring a survey if you can't describe it, for example, as the northeast quarter of the southeast quarter of this section. And so, in reality, that's the only, you know, the times that it is actually requiring a survey. One of the other, and this is a key difference as well, both the existing regulations and the proposed regulations would allow us to approve a minor subdivision of up to 6 lots administratively. So we could approve the creation of up to 6 lots administratively. We're not proposing to change that in any way. That would remain the same. The difference is currently, if something is a named subdivision, and so if it's already been through our subdivision process once, it's Smith subdivision or Jones subdivision, if you increase the density under the current regulations, so if you further subdivide in any way, it requires the approval of a Division 3 permit. What's been proposed in these regulations is to allow a replat of up to, administratively, of up to 6 lots. And the thought there was, if we can create 6 lots administratively via a minor subdivision, why can't we also create 6 lots via a replat of a named subdivision administratively as well? And so those are some of the key differences. Another big difference, and this was something that we did see in a number of other counties, is we did propose an exemption for cemeteries, which is not too uncommon. A lot of the other regulations that I found throughout the state exempt cemeteries from the normal platting process. Now, the one thing that we did put in is we did say we wanted to exempt cemeteries so long as they comply with the state law, with the provisions of state statute, basically. And of course, there are a huge number of statutes that deal with cemeteries and how they're to be created. The other thing that we really tried to make sure that we did was we tried to make sure that these new subdivision regulations also complied with the existing road standards, or worked hand-in-hand with the road standards, because what the staff found with the existing subdivision regulations in the development guidance code is in a number of instances, the subdivision regulations and the code book in general conflicts with the adopted road standards. And so we've tried to address that as well. And this is one thing. Basically, we just reference the language in the road standards, but currently in the road standards, a driveway can serve up to two parcels or tracts of land, with basically a 50-foot wide easement. And so we're just requiring an easement. We're not specifying that what we're defining as a driveway has to be built to county road standards. Basically, when this driveway would serve a third tract of land, that's when it would be looked upon as a road, essentially. And one of the things I found, and I honestly did not realize this initially, but in working with Randy Hayes, what we found is that basically the road standards already spells all of this out, as far as, you know, how they define a driveway, how many lots or tracts of land a private driveway can serve, and so we really tried to just ensure that the proposed regulations worked hand-in-hand with the road standards. Probably the only other real primary difference here is we just tried to define things a whole lot more clearly. We tried to spell a lot more of the things out that we're currently doing. There are a lot of things as far as process or procedurally that we're doing, but we don't have them in writing anywhere. And so that's why these proposed subdivision regulations are a lot more lengthy, but we've tried to actually put in writing a number of the things we're already doing process-wise or procedure-wise. That way we've got them spelled out in writing, and that way we have more consistency, too. If we have a different planning administrator, you know, you ensure consistency when you've got more of this spelled out, when more of this is in black and white. I guess at this point, that's one of the things I wasn't certain of, is how we wanted to approach this. If we want to go through this section by section, or how...
You're talking about today?
Well, and just in general terms, I guess, too.
Well, I know when we have a public hearing that the public's going to be able to talk about any part of this.
Yes.
Because you've adopted a new document, and within that document have suggested changes to the old document.
Oh, yes.
So what you're going to be asking of us is to approve or not approve what planning and zoning has approved. And I believe that, correct me if I'm wrong, what we should be discussing at the public hearing are what the proposed changes are.
Yes.
Because anything that we can make a decision on has to first go through, am I right, B and Z, and either their adoption or rejection of it?
Yes, yes. Okay. I believe the way it spells it out is exactly what you said, that there has to be a recommendation from the Planning Commission. And like I said, you're exactly correct. It will impact the existing code book, because by proposing to adopt this new set of regulations, we're really proposing to remove the subdivision regulations from the existing document, basically.
Would it be possible for you to help me, at least, with the document and the different areas where there's proposed changes, to have that highlighted?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I
mean, that would be very, very helpful.
You've got the line through it now, right?
Well, it's not in this document.
In this document, this is changes.
Right.
And that's the strikeouts.
There's a couple of things that we can discuss, I guess, during the public hearing. I think that that you've come a long ways with simplifying the regulations, making them easier to understand. There's one or two things that I would have a question on. Are existing subdivisions grandfathered in?
Yes.
And the fact that somewhere needs to be talked about state regulations as far as perking lot size. I know that you have listed here of lots smaller than 10 acres, whereas we have listed in several of these items listed on here speaking of 5-acre tracts. And it doesn't talk about lot sizes of 10 acres, but it does speak in 5-acre tracts when you're talking about your creation of the public roads and 5-acre tracts and in your highway frontage and all those things. So that's the only thing that I can see that confuses people a little bit. You've already went through this, and I congratulate P&Z for working on this to simplify the language and make it where it's easy to understand. The fact that it's administrative without the public having to come in, and you already have an approved subdivision, and you want to split 5-acre tracts or 10-acre tracts, and they can come in, and you already have a plat on it, and it can be done administrative if it perks and all the things that go along with that. I don't see anywhere in here where it lists those. It does list the guidance code itself, which probably, if you go back to the state books, would say something about that. But it doesn't say it here. You understand what I'm saying, Bob?
I do.
If it was made more clear that the only time that they could split a 5-acre track into 2.5 would be if it would perk. And so those situations like that is something that needs to be mentioned somewhere in this.
Well, my question is, if they in fact mention all the state laws, this book is going to be huge.
Well, I know that, but...
And maybe there is a way to direct them being the public individuals that...
That's what he's trying to do by splitting the book, though, Ron. He's trying to take and I wouldn't use the terminology of taking and splitting the subdivision deal away from the code book, but I would use it as an additional reference to hand to people that come in that have subdivisions that they want to split. When you say that you're taking it away from the code book, sometimes people get the wrong idea about the regulatory process of that. But I would say that it's an additional book to simplify the subdivision code book. And those are the only two things that I've seen, and I know that they worked hard on this. I just think it's something maybe that you might have, when you work as much as you have on this thing, and I've had four or five P&Z members approach me out in public without a conversation of them bringing it up, saying we worked a long time on this and thought they did a good job, and I believe they did. And do you understand what I'm saying, Jim, about the grandfathering in and the simplification of the administrative deal? I applaud that greatly. That you could do that administratively on anything. The only thing that I could see that would be a little confusing is the mention of 5-acre tracts several times, whereas you have 10-acre tracts, 20-acre tracts, and we use 40-acre tracts, and you're trying to cut that back to whatever we would like, be more consistent with the acreage numbers, makes it simpler for them. But I'm tickled to death with what the progress that you've made with it.
Let me ask you a question, Bob, that's just technically. We're talking about a road to two tracts of land. So if I own 80 acres and I give a son 40 acres, we can build a driveway.
Exactly.
Okay, here's my question. In the book, page 22 and page 23, I
I don't understand the verbiage that's here based upon what you've told us. Because it says, number one, an ingress egress easement with a minimum width of 50 feet shall be recorded and indicated on a land survey, should said easement serve to. So it has to be a 50-foot easement.
So basically, we are requiring.
Even if I put in a 10-foot driveway, it has to be a 50-foot easement.
And let me tell you the reasoning behind that,
okay.
Too. I mean, just to. And this is just, I've seen a lot of other counties take this same approach. What the intent behind it is basically if they have the 50-foot easement in place, it ensures that in the future, if they continue to subdivide off of this easement, that there ends up being at least the 50-foot right-of-way width in place. Because, again, they would just have to put a driveway within that easement, basically, and then we wouldn't have any specifications on driveways. And so...
I understand. I just wanted to clarify.
They're giving them, in a lot of ways, they're giving themselves more future developability, if you would. They give themselves the ability to ensure, if they're creating... Kind of using your example, if we've got a large, like if we've got a 40-acre piece of property and they split a tract of land out of the back of this property that doesn't have road frontage, that ensures that there's at least an easement back to that.
I understand.
And exactly what you said by specifying.
So let me take the second part of the question.
Okay.
The very next, number three, says... because you've scratched out six, says no more than two tracts of less than 10 acres may be served by a 50-foot wide ingress-egress easement. That's what the new language says. So if I have three tracts, do you understand what am I reinterpreting this right? I can only serve two. By the way that this reads, because it says no more than two tracts of less than 10 acres may be served by a 50-foot wide. So I can't have three tracts. I can't have four tracts. I can't have five tracts and have a 50-foot easement.
You can, but, and this actually is where it meshes. This is where it meshes with the existing road standards.
Right.
Is basically the existing road standards... They're allowing you to serve up to two tracts of land with a private easement or a private driveway. When it hits that third tract of land, that's when, right or wrong, it's looking upon it as a county road or as a road built to county standards, basically. I'll take back the county road because it's not necessarily, it could be a private road.
No, I understand where I believe that you're headed. I'm not sure that... That verbiage gets us there.
Right. And the notes that we had, which I reviewed last week as we were talking about bringing this up, Ron, you had mentioned that there'd be three tracks or... You had mentioned in the notes three tracks or four tracks or something like that.
Because it was six before.
Because it was six before.
Yes.
You remember mentioning that.
Yeah.
I had that actually wrote down.
Yeah.
And in the what we tried to do here was permit a family or anyone else that got the opportunity to sell a lot or two, or, and I understand the 50-foot myself, but I don't think it should be listed as easement. It protects the utility part of the thing, because there's so many people that wants to build behind a certain area, and the person in front of them doesn't want the utility to go through their property, or if it's underground, they don't want it to go through, or they don't want a high line pole going past their house. And they refuse utilities through or try to make somebody pay. I've run into that in the county business that we've had here with the parks before. And so I understand why the 50 foot's in there, but I do make mention of the fact that Mr. Houseman and I agreed with him, because I wrote it in my notes. I haven't had any discussion with him whatsoever about it, but I wrote it in my notes that he mentioned 3 to 4 tracks before that would be county standard, because it cost a lot of money to build a road to county standards the way that they have it now.
I agree with you.
I see the intent.
Well, let me bring up one other thing, and I don't disagree with you. I really don't. And I'll tell you, and I always get leery bringing up other counties, but there are a couple other counties that actually utilize 3 as their cutoff instead of 2. And we were leaning toward bumping that number up. The only reason we didn't is because the adopted road standards speak to just having the ability to serve 2 with by a driveway. But the road standards could be amended as well.
We could amend that easy enough.
And so that was the only reason that we went with the 2. Two being served by a private easement, is because when Randy and I sat down with the existing road standards, we noted that the existing road standards speak to 2.
But didn't Christian County run into some problems with theirs and amended theirs to 3?
Christian County bumped theirs up to 3.
I actually talked to the prior commissioners that were there, mm-hmm. and they ran into some difficulty with that whenever they adopted that, and so they changed theirs to 3.
Exactly.
And I actually visited with the commissioners, and when Ron had brought that up before, I mean, that was more suitable to my wishes, whether it be 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what we're saying, Jim? Because it costs if you give 5 acres away, or if you give 10 acres away, to build across it to the next section, you've got a lot of money stuck in it for county road standards.
And Greene County utilizes 3 as well. So several other counties have taken the same approach. And like I said, the only reason we even proposed 2 was just because that we felt like we had to, because that's the way it's spelled out in the current road standards. But
we had adopted the road standards from actually what Christian County had done.
That's what I
and mean. They amended theirs, and so we could amend ours. The road standard is amended to fit this planning and zoning issue. And so we could amend ours also to make it all mashed together.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing that I've seen there.
Let me ask you what our next step would be, and how much time do we have to notify the public before having a public hearing to consider the recommended changes from P&Z?
Okay. By statute, it has to be advertised at least 15 days prior to a public hearing. Now, it's at the discretion of the county commission. I mean, we can have meetings, many meetings we wish to have on this, really. I mean, we can have additional work session, or we can just proceed directly to a public hearing. It's really, you know, at the discretion of the county commission, but we have to have at least one advertised public hearing, and it has to be advertised at least the 15 days prior.
One of the questions or statements is, we cannot modify your recommendations. Either we accept them wholly or decline them wholly. I know we can't say we don't want 2, we want 3. So the that's what how I understand the process. Is that correct, Bob?
I thought that we had the opportunity to approve which of the recommendations we desired.
But we can't change. Can't make that modification, is what I'm saying. So if we know we're not going to approve that 2, do you want to go back and get that fixed before we have a public hearing?
Now here's the thing, I have actually in the past, not here, but in my previous experience with another county, I've had 2 legal opinions on that, and so I don't know if that's something we potentially even want to run by council. The statute says that it requires a recommendation of the Planning Commission before, and I've had two different opinions as to whether or not that recommendation can be modified. The most recent opinion I got, he basically said that it would have to be referred back to Planning and Zoning and have them modify. Now, in this case, we also have another issue in that potentially we may have to go ahead and modify the road standards as well, and it might be best to...
I don't have... Go ahead.
Might to actually to, look at modifying the road standards at that same
I don't
time
have
period.
Any problem setting up the public hearing and moving forward with what we wish to do upon their proposed recommendations, and then at the same time be doing exactly what you said, if in fact that's an issue that we feel, or P&Z feels, that should be addressed. I wonder if we could have Bob work with Nikki upstairs and finding the time. And I say that because we're getting ready to start BOE.
Oh, exactly.
So we're going to only be doing county commission half days for probably the month of July, or it depends on how many people that we have come in. But you've got to give 15 days notice anyway.
Do we have to find out the process on amending the road standards to fit that? If we amend the road standards, then P&Z is going to be fine with amending the P&Z on the driveway permit.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we have a legal opinion, and if Greene County and Christian County, who are both more populated than we are, except three to four on those, well, I'm willing to
problem
make
is
that
they're
proposal.
Going to have another public hearing before we can schedule a public hearing to do that.
we
can just change. They have to have a public hearing, draw public input. Am I right?
Yes. And of course the road standards. And I don't know. I mean, this would be, but I.
Bob, are you working on, is P&Z starting to work on the next set of changes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you can easily incorporate this modification to the next set of changes. We could accept everything but that one item possibly in the hearing part.
Or we could accept it, which would change it from six down to two, right?
You could really approach it either way. I mean,
as long as we know it's coming.
Now, I haven't brought any of these other proposed changes to the Planning Commission yet. The staff's still in the process of drafting additional changes or amendments at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so, honestly, it could be approached either way.
Right.
My thinking is if we move forward with the thought of having a public hearing and making these changes, and we go through the procedure that's necessary in our road standards, and then you have that's an easy presentation to P&Z. It says, look, this has just changed. We want to stay in compliance and performance with. And
exactly.
It's very simple that we see that other counties have had problems with the way that the road standards were written, so we can propose the changes that they endured and made the changes upon in counties with far larger population than we've got.
Well, let me ask you two, do you want to set this aside and wait till they go back through it, or do we want to move forward?
I would say move forward. We know there'll be another set of changes coming up, so keep on moving forward, I think.
Okay, just as long as we keep it scheduled and keep it moving forward, because we have so much on our platter that sometimes we let
Bob, if you would work with Nikki to make sure that we have adequate time to do the notifications.
Okay.
And pick the time and schedule to stick it on our agenda. Then we'll conduct the public hearing. I obviously want you to be present to answer questions.
Now, will they strictly be upon those subdivision
only
changes?
Only upon whatever it is that they have already approved.
Okay. I thought, visiting with some of them, they said they had actually worked on, not approved, but had worked on as many as 30 changes.
They did it on... At the June 11th hearing, they did propose a recommendation of basically the subdivision regs that we've referred on, you're exactly correct. Actually, the issue that we ended up working on for quite some time is this issue that we're talking about currently with the number of tracts served by a private easement. Initially, the staff had proposed a larger number as well, and then in sitting down with Randy Hayes and in reviewing the road standards, we found that the existing road standards were in conflict with what we initially had proposed, and so we basically held an additional hearing to revise our proposed subdivision regulations just to ensure that they did agree with the existing road standards.
Let's go ahead and do that, but as I said, and you might even bring up at that point the simplification of keeping our acreages somewhat the same as we go down the line, because mentioning 5 acres in a couple of scenarios that where we have changes and the 5 acres with the public access and 5 acres with this, and then you've got 10 acres mentioned one time throughout the thing, 10 to 20.
Yeah.
And and the administrative deal, I'm fully in support of that. If you want to split, if you've got it and have been into a track and a person needs to split off a 5 or a 2.5 off of a 10, as long as it works, I'm for that. People need to be able to, and it meets, you know, you get into the same thing with subdivision regulations that they have themselves. They'll have to meet all those, and that's the reason administratively it should go through that.
Well, and I'll give you some, we've had a few real-life examples since I've been here of even some existing subdivisions that have been sewered that had to come through the planning and zoning process just because they were a named subdivision. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, those property owners have really been pretty angry, I mean, just being really frank with you, because they've just really basically wanted to create one additional tract of land.
Put a sewer put a septic tank on it.
And they've had to come through the Division III process. In a lot of cases, they're not happy about that.
It's too complicated. And I said, simple is better.
Exactly.
Are we asking to move forward with this and
with
then
the posting?
A posting of what? How quick do you have to do that?
It's got to be posted at least 15 days before the public hearing.
Yeah, just work with Nikki and post like we did the last one.
Okay.
But I need to find out from Frank about the changing of the road standards. Frank and Randy.
They called it off this morning.
If there is a regulation,
okay,
the amount of time we have to wait to change the standard, or can we do that?
Let's start with Randy. I don't think there's anything.
As far as I know,
there was nothing statutorial on that.
I believe you're correct. I, as far as I know, it just would have to be a public hearing in front of the county commission. But I don't know if there's anything that spells out a time or not.
We can have Nikki get with Randy and start looking and see what it takes to modify that.
Yeah, I think any of those things that are brought up by a sitting commissioner that when it was passed, that you can bring any issue back before the county commission on any vote taken or regulation that you've passed. I believe that's the way as we went through that before.
So you're going to work with Nikki. We're going to find the time. We're going to schedule public hearing, and you're going to be present for the hearing to answer questions.
Definitely.
Okay.
Appreciate the work that you've been doing on this, Bob.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
I've been alerted that MoDOT is not going to be here until 11, and we don't have a time specific for that.
You need to make a...
On T Highway, I was going to suggest that since we have Linda's here, if we want to chat with her for an hour, we can do that on the personnel.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not just taking that into consideration.
What time is Road and Bridge?
What time is Road and Bridge think they're going to be here?
They were going to be here at 11, Randy was.
Well, we can either go in executive for the next 55 minutes.
Yeah.
I do need to recess here for 5 minutes or so. I need to return a couple phone calls. Do you want to go into executive, sir?
And then take care of that and then come back. What I was thinking.
Go in recess first and come back and go in?
We can go in and recess that.
Okay.
That way Lynn can do something else. Motion to go to executive pursuant 610.021.123 and 12.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to go into executive session pursuant to 610.021 subsections 1, 2, 3, and 12. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Danny aye.
Jim aye.
And Ron aye. Any opposed?
And then for those listening at 11 o'clock, we'll come out for the T-Highway discussion.
And that, we have Road and Bridge update.